Let us pause. Oh God, we thank you for your word, which comes to us in many forms, but the way in which we are touched and blessed, we give thanks. So as we take in your word, may we also share them. May all that we say and do be glorified to you. Oh God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So today we are talking about blessings. You see, in the scripture, throughout scripture, God promises many blessings. Early on in the Old Testament, we know that God promises Abraham many blessings. Children, offsprings, make him a father of nations. Blessings are also associated with the land, the promised land, inheriting the land. And also with the land, there are fruits and fields and the yields. Blessing means God's provisions. Blessing means God's prosperity. And finally, the major understanding, if you read through Psalms, you will see that blessing has to do with deliverance from the enemy. Good health, protection, well-being. That's the blessings of the Old Testament. In the New Testament, blessings are a little bit different. The blessings has to do with our state of mind, with our state of being, with our disposition. Being blessings in the New Testament, like for instance in Matthew chapter 5, the Greek word is makarios, which is often interpreted to mean happiness or blessed, blessing. So blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. And blessed are the peacemakers. So throughout the Bible, we see a long, huge, encompassing spectrum of blessings. In our passage this morning, and typically this Sunday is a day that we celebrate and remember that Jesus is ascending into heaven. After Jesus had resurrected, he had spent time with his disciples, showed them miracles, and now it was his time to leave. Before he leaves, he makes it a point to bless them. In this passage from verse 50, 51, and 52, it talks about blessings three times. Verse 50, as he led them out to Bethany, he lifted his hands and he blessed them. Then verse 51, while he was blessing them, he withdrew from them as he was carried up into heaven. And then finally, verse 52, they went to Jerusalem and they were in the temple and they were blessing God. Now the first part, which is verse 50, we see Jesus is lifting hands and blessing them. So he is conferring the blessing. It is not a material blessing, but it is a gift. It's a parting gift, something intangible, something spiritual, something emotional that Jesus is sprinkling on them. If you remember that the book of Acts at the beginning, Jesus, right before he leaves them, says that you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, but not just yet. And so Jesus blesses them, saying, okay, you will receive the Holy Spirit, but in the meantime, I'm blessing you. What is the blessing then that Jesus is giving them? In this sense, the blessing that Jesus is offering them is the positive force, the energy, the power of suggestion. He is trying to impart to them strength, well-being, health, courage, confidence, peace, a soulful, compassionate feeling and well-being, all the good intangibles that you can think of, Jesus is blessing them and conferring them with. Then on the next verse, 51, while he was blessing them, I find that verse kind of interesting because Jesus is blessing them, but while he is blessing him, he is slowly being withdrawn, and he is being lifted up into heaven. Now, you would think he would say, okay, this is it. I'm leaving. Goodbye. And that's it. But the verse actually says, while he was blessing them, he was slowly being removed. So we get the sense that the blessings are flowing from him to the disciples in an ongoing way, in a continuous way. There's no break, it seems. There's no halt or pause to the blessing that Jesus is conferring on them. It kind of made me think of Star Trek and how there's the tractor beam and there's this force field, there's this energy that flows. Unlike the Star Trek series where it's pulling the subject or the ship or whatever, this is just like a continuous connection of blessing that Jesus is giving them. It's a direct line, this power source. So we see the progression. There's a progression from the blessing being conferred on by Jesus, the absorbing of it, the indwelling, the inhabiting of the blessing. And then what happens in verse 51? That they go to the temple and they start blessing God. And that's an interesting concept. Can we bless God? And I guess we can. But for the disciples, what they had received from Jesus and what they took in, now they were able to then shine out and kind of reflect back. I was reading this book called The Architecture of Abundance, and I was sharing about that, Lanedra Carroll, and we've all done this, where we've taken a pebble and we've dropped it in a small pond, and we've seen the ripples and the waves go out. So as she's doing this, in her book she says that as the waves go out, when they hit the edges, they seem to come back and they return. So Carol, in her mind, she thought, I wonder if it's that same thing in our thoughts. I wonder if the same thing happens with our words. So she was talking to this engineer who was reading her book and said that he had studied wavelength theory and that it did have studies that showed the behavior of these wavelengths. And the engineer said, what we do is we send out a shock of sound, and then the sound returns back. It bounces back like a mirror image, whether it's air or water or heat or sound. And so the theory then is the same goes for our thoughts. So if we're thinking negative, fearful thoughts, and we're projecting them, then they bounce back and come back to us. But also the opposite is true. If we think positive, loving, forgiving thoughts, and we send them forth, then they return back to us. We can see why Jesus was blessing them, because he wanted them to receive it, absorb it, and then reflect it back. And so the disciples then are blessing God in the temple. The implication then is that when we receive the blessing, we reflect it back. In the same way, if we're expressing our dreams and our hopes and everything positive to other people, towards a community, towards the mission field, that somehow that energy will return back. Now you say, well, what about those people who are negative? What about those people who channel anger or doubt or hostility? Then what? There are a couple of scriptures I wanted to share with you. The first one is one of my favorite characters in the Old Testament, and it is the story of Job. You remember that story? Job is blessed in every way, materially, family, community. He is well off. But then all of a sudden, the afflictions start to hit, right? He loses property. He starts to get physical problems. I think He even loses part of his family. And his friends turn against him, and his friends say, well, you must be wrong, you must be at fault, you must be a sinner. And Job goes through this trial and tribulation. And do you remember what Job says? The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. And then, blessed be the name of the Lord. So in spite of what he's going through, in spite of what he's experienced, he says, blessed be the name of the Lord. Do you remember what happens at the end of the book of Job? God blesses him back, right? He receives double of what he had been blessed with before. Now, is it a result of him saying, blessed be the name of the Lord, and the blessings return? It's plausible. Let me bring another example to you. In the book of Daniel, chapter 3, there is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They are going to be thrown in the fiery furnace. And at that time, there is King Nebuchadnezzar, and King Nebuchadnezzar says, you have to worship me and fall down before the golden statues. If not, I'm going to throw you into fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refuse. And so Nebuchadnezzar makes up his mind what he's going to do. Now, this is what they say to him, and this is chapter 3, verse 17. If our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace, this blazing fire, out of your hand, O king, let it be. Let God deliver us. But if not, be it known to you that we will not worship you. We will not bow down to your golden idols. So the king throws them in to the oven, and they survive. They are not consumed by the fire. So they come out, and do you remember what King Nebuchadnezzar's response is that very first instance? This is verse 28. King Nebuchadnezzar says, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Something positive must have been emanating from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Some love or forgiveness, because King Nebuchadnezzar was threatening, and he had this obsessiveness, this perfectionism. And when you throw that kind of threat out with that, there is resentment, there's low-grade hostility, there are explosive bouts of anger. But somehow Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were able to shine blessings upon the king, and the king said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What do we do with the negative emotions that are thrown at us? Lenedra Carroll says that in our mind, we could build this container and to put all these negative images in there, set them aside, and give them to God. Or we could take the image in Daniel 3, where we could bring them with us into a fiery furnace. Of course, I'm speaking symbolically, and let God burn them up. And we will be blessed, and we will come out of there. We will come out ministered to, shored up, encouraged, strengthened, and empowered, and edified. Every day we could make it a point to bless God. Every day we can make it a point to bless someone, and the blessings shall return. Amen.